You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Billy, left footed. It's a cheeky one. Square!
Hello, welcome to episode number 205 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
Tom, let's get straight to the point. This is going to be a tricky one to talk about, isn't it?
It is indeed. It was an awful day all round, awful afternoon. Just everything about it and the game itself was, pretty terrible. So, yeah, one of them days, unfortunately, mate, but hopefully we can bounce back.
So we're pleased to announce that this season, Back of the Net is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Bournemouth fixture over the 23-24 season.
And with over 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't really matter whether you're based in Bournemouth or
Barrow.
You can catch every single minute of the action there.
Keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that put you closer to the action.
There is an international break, so no Premier League games on the horizon. And by golly, maybe we need that break, don't we? But look, at a Green King Sports pub, you can get TNT, Sky Sports, and then in December when the Amazon games kick off as well. Our next game, that's on Sky, 11th of November against a certain Mr. Eddie Howe, Newcastle United. But if you can't get to the game, get to a Green King Sport pub. Well, I was the man on the mic outside Goodison Park at the weekend on Saturday, and this is what fans thought as they were leaving the stadium.
Well, John, it was terrible against the Toffees today. We could talk about baseline tracker tables where Bournemouth look as though they're okay on zero, but we saw it last week against Arsenal, and now against Everton, that was absolutely diabolical today. Terrible.
It was abject, and I think when you start to lose the away fans, when the gallows humour kicks in the way it did, you know things are at a turning point. Like, either things turn around quickly, or this is only going one direction. Yeah, that about summed it up, to be fair. Where do you want to start? Because it's just, there was really, the only light for me was Tavernier in that game, who really looked like he wanted to do something. Sinisterra comes on, the amount of times you see him just stood there with play going on further back and he's not working hard. You got Billing at times is trying his best, but in the first 15 minutes of the second half he took Christie off, put on Rothwell, and you think, okay, that puts Billing in the number 10, or does what I wanted us to just control the midfield a little bit better, actually squeeze up and make sure we dominate the ball. But nothing was working. No matter what we try, nothing was coming off. And and don't really know what the plan is from in those games. I don't know what the plan is defensively, because I think Smith wasn't great, Kirkez was poor, Senesi and Zabani continue to look worse as a partnership every game. Yeah, where do you want to go? Because to be honest, you could look all over the pitch and there's flaws in every department at the moment.
No, John, we'll get a few other views as well. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, mate. No, really appreciate it. Hi, bud. Yeah, come on. Hello, mate. What's your name?
Bradley.
Bradley, talk to me. What do you think
the thing
about
is,
it?
Right, I never expected an away win. Been a supporter for many years.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we just couldn't get the ball starting. We didn't play well at all. I thought when Billing's not in attack and roll, he can't really do too much. And as I say, from the start to the finish, Everton were on top. And it's just a shame really to come all this way and don't see a good performance.
A few people, frustrations are simmering over now. A lot of people targeting recruitment, targeting the manager, targeting individual players. Where do we go from here? I mean, we've got two massive games now for the rest of October before we play Man City in November.
You know, for me, you know, I don't expect wins, but I just expect a good performance. And today I just thought we didn't turn up. I'm just a little bit worried now because it's been eight games in, no win. I've had a good performance prior to this game, but today it's just, I really don't know, mate. I really don't know.
Cheers, Conor Bradley, mate.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where do I start, eh?
Yeah,
just try literally somewhere. From minute one, we didn't know we wanted to go forward. There's so many people that say that, like, I've seen people say that if we lose our next three games, I'm not going to be Areola out because of the quality of our squad and all of this. But we haven't won in 12 Premier League games. That is mental. And if we still had O'Neill or we had somebody else that didn't give us all of this, then it's going to be rock and roll football and it's going to be control chaos, whatever it said. The only thing is, it's control chaos at the back. We're honestly useless in defence. But yeah, and anyway, back to my point. If, like, I don't think our squad's good enough, or we're not playing the right players. I don't know what's going on, but something isn't right at the club. Not all the players thank the fans at the end. We didn't look like we were fighting for it. Nobody looked like they really cared, and we lost 3-0. This team of Everton players lost 2-1 to Luton. And there's no disrespect to Luton, but people are labelling them as one of the worst teams in the league, which might be fair, might be not, I don't know. But they lost 2-1 to Luton, and Luton have only won one game this season. So that shows that they're there for the taking. And then we go and get played off the park, completely off the park, and we deserve to lose. The best chance we had was Keith Moore, and we are 3-0 down with 2 minutes left. Honestly, it's a joke. But I don't know where we're going to go. Wolves have picked up some good results, like against Man City and stuff. And Burnley are probably on a similar level to us. But yeah, it's probably a battle of which two sides are the least bad, could I say. But yeah, it's just I don't know how long it is until we question Areola. Some people question him now, I've seen. And to be honest, I don't blame them. We got told that it was going to be this wonderful brand of football that we were going to go in as the underdogs and win these games and do well. And he did well on a shoestring budget of Alicano. And it's at the moment it's gone to pot because you can't, in the Premier League, you can't keep on taking chances and give him time because he's not showed any signs that we're improving or getting better or even better than we were under O'Neill. Under O'Neill, we played badly and we won games. But yeah, it's gone from not very good start of the season to now it could be panic mode. And I wouldn't be surprised if our club did something soon because, to be honest, we need to act fast. I don't know who there is out there, to be honest.
Harry Potter.
But maybe, I don't know, but then he's not exactly done, like, got teams out of relegation scraps, so I don't know. You never know. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for coming on. Hi, buddy. How are you, mate? You alright?
No,
I mean, you're not alright. We know
I'm
that.
I'm not alright. No, I don't think anyone's alright. I've travelled 4.5 hours up here this morning, at 5:30 this morning, to get here. The best bit about the day is having a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, we've come up here. The only reason I've come is because Everton's a winnable game. We've just been stuffed. Absolutely stuffed. Why are we trying to play Spanish ball with championship quality players? I don't know what's wrong. Dom Solanke's trigger shy. Is he ever going to have a shot on goal? I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, mate. I'm getting fed up of watching it. I really am.
It was. I think at one stage they registered 20 shots, five of which were on target. We had seven. one of which was on target. Like,
seven shots, one on target.
It's bizarre, isn't it? It's bizarre. I think we probably had more than that in the end. Last 5 minutes probably skew the stats a little bit because they were switching off. We were at a few half-hour chances.
I wouldn't even know. I left. I was out here. I was still out here checking if my bets come in.
Yeah.
I was not in there. I didn't want to watch it. It's 3-0 to Everton. They couldn't buy 3 points before this game. Now they've come here and they've made us look silly. They've made us look bottom of the... I even think... I watched a Luton game before this early kickoff. I think they looked better than us today. And arguably at the start of the season, I would have said they were favourites to be bottom by far. Them and Sheffield United. But nowadays, I'd be happy to go to the Championship. Maybe we'd get a win.
Mate, cheers for coming on. Much appreciate it, bud. Yeah, we've got to get it. Hello, mate. Come on over. Yeah, good, thank you. What's your name, mate?
Omar. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
What was that?
Well, not good to see that game though, was it?
It was the worst I've seen in a long time. I mean, some people in there say, I didn't go to the Swansea game. People were saying, oh, this is bad, it's worse than that. Yeah. We needed this. We really needed it. And firstly, I don't get the starting lineup. I don't get it. We needed to press, and that wasn't a pressing team. As soon as we started, the first 20 minutes, what were we doing? We weren't pressing. We weren't getting the ball. When we lost the ball, we weren't getting it back. I don't get what Phil Billing was doing, if I'm honest. For the whole match, I don't really see what his point, what point of him was. It was just nothing there. We were just letting them go. And also, the first part, we just let them go for it.
Yeah. A few players in the vlog were questioning the choosing of Dongo Ouattara, who's been... Pretty poor, I'd say, so far this season. And I did do much to prove them wrong during that game.
What really irritates me is that we just put Dom out front and we don't really give him the backup. I was actually really pleased with the substitution. I was really pleased with Kiefer and Brooks. I've said for a while that I think that a team of Dom, Brooks, is actually really good to start with. But we didn't go with that and it was way too late. And the fact that Kiefer Moore showed us up at the end... And also for the rest of the season, I just don't get where we build on this. And I was a massive, until today, I was a massive fan of Iraola. I really was. And I thought, got to let him go for it. And today I'm a bit shaky.
How far does your patience stretch with him?
Two games.
What do you need? 6 points or four?
Yeah, we've got to get six. I thought from the next three, I thought we needed seven. And Max, we're going to get six now. And how long do we let it go for?
Well, yeah. It's a difficult one. A lot of people are going to be asking that. It's a tricky one.
And it's not just 3-0. It's just like, it's the points.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for coming on.
No,
really appreciate it, bud.
Good to see you, mate.
Up the cherries. Cheers, mate. Hi, bud. How are you, mate?
I'm good.
What's your name?
Todd.
Hello, mate. Talk to me.
I'm pretty bad. I'm just disappointed. I adopted into what Iraola was doing at the beginning. I was happy with the new system and this high press, and it worked for a couple of games when we played Brentford. I think we played well for the 90. Obviously we still have spells where defensively we're so poor, where we just can't keep a defensive line, but we had moments in those earlier games where we did quite well. But today we were just so far off at attack. I had no idea what they were doing. Defence just all over the place. We couldn't string 3-4 passes together. I just don't know what we're expecting to happen with this new system.
It seems to be individual errors all over the place, because obviously Rothwell against West Ham, first game of season, Kirkes against Brentford. It seemed like for their first two goals, individual errors. Zavani gives it away. Yeah. I'd have to watch that Neto one again, but he seems to flail and punch it when he maybe could have caught it. I don't know, but... I don't even know what to say. We just seem to be lacking confidence all over.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, the thing that I always question, I don't know what we bought Radu in for. He's had Champions League experience. He's a good keeper, and we've got Neto as a captain. And last season, I thought he was off it. Like, for a lot of things, yeah, he was good, but he still has so many mistakes in him, and they're really showing in these games. Like, this was for us. From the beginning, it was a must-win game. This was 3 points that we could have easily taken. I know it's away, but Everton, they're going to be down there with us. I know they've had a rogue win at Brighton, but apart from that, they've not been great. I know they've had some good games that they've not got points from, but so have we when we played Brentford. At Chelsea, we could have easily nicked that game. It could have been okay. But just at the moment, I just don't know what we're going to do to make it any better. And I'm sick of watching it at the moment. It's the best way to put it. It's a shame.
Cheers for coming on, mate. Up the cherries. Steve's there. We'll get Stevie in. And Adam Ensman.
Steve's not interested, but Adam...
Adam, you say a few words. I will come to your dad, because I'm sure he'll put things into perspective for us. Probably not in a good way. All right then, Adam. What was good? What was bad? Give me one thing that was good. Give me one thing that was bad.
Well,
good.
The good thing was that when we brought on Kiefer Moore, we were actually playing good balls over to him, so he could actually have shots.
Yeah.
But the bad thing was we didn't bring... When we brought Max Aronson, it was a bit too late. And when we didn't just... We should have brought Semenya on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's weird, like Kiefer Moore, he's only on the pitch for 10 minutes. He's getting more shots, maybe not on goal, but he's attempting more than I think any other player did combined. Okay, Steve, take a breath.
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, well, just tell me what you're feeling then.
Dejection, yeah. Disillusion. I mean, we were sold this Iriola magic dream and we're just not seeing it, this sexy football, chaotic football, whatever you want to call it, high press, high intensity, and we're just, last couple of games we haven't seen, it's been far from that, and it's getting to a point where it looks like the players don't believe in it. I really hope that's not the case, but the body language isn't good, we're not creating anything, we're not defending well as a unit. That's an Everton side that haven't won at home for five, is it?
We played something them into like confidence that. Didn't we?
Yeah, and as soon as you know, it's individual errors again. You know, Zabani slips for the first goal. It's unfortunate, but the heads go down. You know, the support drops. I mean, it's just it just brings in a negative vibe around, and it carried on. Unfortunately, Neto made a mistake for the second goal. Maybe a refereeing decision that went up against us for the third. But on the basis of the game, it was lucky it wasn't more.
Well, 3-0 flattered us.
I thought it did. Yeah, because they had more chances than that, and we really didn't let, apart from, like Adam said, Kiefer Moore's header, I don't remember ever getting off my seat to cheer anything we did. It's a little bit depressing, and now we've got to stew on it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and for 5 hours in the car on the way back.
Oh, no.
Love it.
I'll do that, but I'll see you at the services.
Yeah, we'll take. All right, mate.
Okay, we'll start with the bad news. I mean, Bournemouth are still in the relegation zone, Tom. That was never in doubt after that 3-0 humiliation at Goodison Park. But the good news, we'll caveat this, all right? The baseline track attack. We go on about this baseline track, all right? I'm just going to, for people watching on YouTube, here it is. I mean, I talked about it on the vlog. It means nothing really, because yes, we were on course. So just to explain it for people who've asked me over the weekend, even in the pub someone was asking, it treats your home games as bankers. So if you drop points there, you get negative. You don't get plus points for winning home games. You get plus points for beating the top six, either home or away, or the other 14 away. So had we beaten Everton, we'd have been on plus three. As it was, theirs was a home banker. So we didn't actually lose or gain any points, nor did they. But that stat does not reflect how bad it was. Everton, I mean, they're on minus five on the baseline track table, which exactly pretty much shows you what you need to know. I think it suited our agenda, not that we've got one, for a bit, and it just tried to put people into some kind of perspective amongst a number of manic episodes that I was seeing played out on social media. However, From the social media reaction, from the eye test, from people who watched on TV, everything seems quite bad at the moment. And that was all because there was a 90-minute performance that didn't show any improvement on the horror show that we had against Arsenal. With Arsenal, you can maybe quantify it. You're playing a team that's done amazingly well. They've just beaten Manchester City to go joint top of the league. They're a class side.
Yeah.
Everton, no disrespect intended, because, you know, some of their results may not have shown their true qualities recently. They're not up to that level. No. So we wanted to go there and show some fight, and we wanted to compete, but we just didn't do that.
No, we didn't, mate. Disappointing, there's no Volker in this, got to be honest. Onto the base, I think of the word base. It is like a little base of going, right, how are we doing, just like in that sense. But yeah, ultimately, like you say, it's Everton are really bad at home. We all know this, and I agree. I think they're, you know, people that like your kind of XG stats and stuff, I think Everton were doing quite well in that. It was more that they weren't finishing their chances and they're letting in silly goals. But yeah, the fact of the matter is they've got a bad record at home for a reason. So any team that goes there is going to feel like they've got a chance. I don't think that's being disrespectful at all. And they look like a team that were just head and shoulders above us. They look like a team full of confidence, which shouldn't be the case, especially at home. As I say, they haven't even picked up a point there before the game. So they shouldn't have been in any confidence. And I think the problem is we've done it a few times now. We've given the team confidence by giving them a goal, as we did. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think I said it on the vlog, they scored for 8 minutes. They were all over us before that. You know, they were all over us in the first seven. But we give them a goal. And then from our perspective, I feel like we're, I mean, we'll come on to it a little bit, but I feel like when we're conceding, we're then going into our shells a little bit and we look devoid of any confidence and bravery. And, you know, the way that obviously Andoni ideally wants us to play, I think the players, once you make an error like that, then find it difficult to express themselves as much as Andoni wants. Yeah. And they all, none of them want to take responsibility. So they're all just giving a little pass to their mate and going, go on, you do something, you do something, you do something. And I think when things like this happen, you start looking deeper and you start going, where's the leaders? There's a lot of young lads out there. Yeah. You know, who's grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck out there? Who is the one that's going to, and you look at the players and you go, oh, I'm not sure they're, you know, we could even go into last season and go, oh, someone like a Lerman might put a tackle in that gets everyone going. You know, he's that sort of character. Even Lloyd, who obviously there's been question marks over, I think sometimes he shows a bit of quality from the back and you think, okay. And I looked at the team when we went a goal down and we were making a few errors and I didn't see anyone that could get us out of it, really. And that's including the substitutes bench. And that's a squad full of really talented footballers. But when you start seeing what's happening, you go, is that where you need a little bit more than that? And then Everton had it. I don't think Everton had any better footballers on paper, but they had a few players that, you know, went to war for them and made sure they got the 3 points.
Mm. And under Sean Dyche, you're always going to get that response, especially when their backs are against the walls. And I think that they probably had the same aspersions cast on them before the game on Saturday as we did maybe a couple of games ago, where we could explain, look, yeah, we are teetering at the base of the table, or the bottom of the table, but we're seeing some good performances. We're shooting, we're doing some good things. And that's what the Everton fans said on the YouTube comments, because in our pinned comment on the vlog that I posted on Sunday morning, I said, you know, just tell us what you thought. And that was for both Cherries fans and Everton fans. And Everton fans came back and said the Luton result last week was an absolute fluke. I wouldn't read into that too much. Someone else said, an Arsenal fan here, and I can tell you that Goodison is never an easy place to go to, no matter what Everton's form was. Another person said, you just caught the backlash from Luton. To be fair, we've created 44 chances on goal over the last 8 games and just haven't converted. It's fair to say, if it's luck or judgment, I'm probably more judgment than luck, they seem to do a lot of them against Bournemouth because we were poor. And the 3-0 scoreline, I mean, obviously we were there, we saw it, but even watching things like Match of the Day or little highlights reel, flattered us so much.
Yeah, it did.
It could have been 5 or 6 easily.
Yeah.
And what's worrying is that, okay, rock and roll football, chaotic, organised chaos. So if they're maybe should be scoring 6, we should be scoring 5. We barely had any chances apart from when Kiefer Moore came on in the last 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, and you just chuck a few balls in, like you say, he got his head in a couple. But that's it, bang on. I think that I always said when we obviously made the change that the change clearly wasn't excited about the change because that would change the result necessarily, because we stayed up comfortably in the Emma games to spare, and I'll always take that at the moment, being the club we are, and, you know, hopefully build from there. It was more the fact that I was falling asleep watching games. It was so boring. And I thought, all I know about this manager and all everyone's telling me, this coach, is that it's going to be exciting. So I can always accept defeats. We're Bournemouth fans. We know what it's like to lose football matches. I just thought at least it will be better on the iron. We'll have a go. And that's why. And I could kind of put that to the side when you're playing against teams like Arsenal, because you have to kind of, you obviously don't want to do that all the time because you think, come on, you want to be competitive in them games, but they're a class side and we're still learning. But yeah, when you go to somewhere like Everton, where, like I said, they haven't got anything at Goodison, you want to at least create some stuff. And we never looked like creating anything. There was no rock and roll football there whatsoever. It was dire, absolutely dire. We can't defend, and then we never looked like we can score either. It was just everything really was really, really bad. And there's no real surprise that they've suddenly got the goals that they haven't been getting at Goodison, and could have got more because, you know, defensively are absolutely all over the place. Our goalkeeper is awful at the moment, in my opinion. And yeah, I just don't see anything really. And that's to make a certain. Like you said, I don't mind if we lose games. And there was, I think it was Alex Deutsch actually on Twitter. If it wasn't, I apologise. I think it was his tweet that said that it feels like, well, at the Brighton game, there was a lot of positives in that game. I remember that first half. I remember thinking, I tell you what, look at this Brighton side.
To go toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, they're a bloody good side and we're having a go here. And we might lose the game, which we ended up doing, but yeah, fair play for us for going for it because we lost last season when we didn't try. You know, tongue-in-cheek, you know what I'm trying to say. And then since Kerkez's own goal, this is what Alex put, everything's gone downhill. Like, it's been awful ever since that own goal. Yeah. Whereas just moments before that own goal, I think, I'll tell you what, here we go. I'm starting to get it. And then since then, and all I could put that down to is a lot of it is down to confidence, in my opinion, because we did see in them really early games, and like I say, that Brighton game, Brentford game, moments against West Ham and Anfield, you thought, okay, I can see a little sprinkle of rock and roll, like we're really going for teams. And then since we kind of threw it away at Brighton, it feels like the lads haven't got the confidence to do that anymore. For whatever reason, and whatever we're trying to do just isn't happening at the moment. And obviously, if you're going to try and be a little bit open, then you need to defend well, and we certainly ain't doing that either.
It made me chuckle at full time when I saw a stat that we got 666 touches in the game, which, and it was a devilish ball. It's not in a good way. That was actually Sean Dyche's sixth win in a row in the league against AFC Bournemouth, but I wouldn't say the writing was on the wall because that's harsh, but yeah. Chatting to you, chatting to Trevor, chatting to a number of people in the pub beforehand, there were a few surprises with the team lineup when it was named, mainly down to why he's choosing certain players to go into certain positions. And Ouattara is a player that obviously we all want him to do well, but we're finding him a frustrating watch at the moment. There's got to be a reason why he's played. Maybe he's trying to play him back into confidence or something, I don't quite know, but his inclusion raised the eyebrows of many, and as the game progressed, we just sort of rolled our eyes a little bit in disappointment.
Yeah, it was a real concern, and as I say, we've kind of made the odd change here and there quite often this season, but I think whether it's been surprise or not, I've never been what I would say is disappointed with a lineup. I've always thought, I thought he'd play so many weeks playing Clivert. Like, there was no real, this is the first time I thought, oh, I'm not sure about that. In terms of theirs, they were pretty much, I mean, obviously they didn't go for Arnie. I thought they might, but it was weird actually because there was a lot. I remember being confused during the game. I thought, I was watching it going, it said Anana's not playing, but apparently Anana was on the bench, and then was it Garner Gay who was supposed to be starting got injured in the wall up?
Right.
So that's why Anana ended up playing. I think Mark behind me was going, you said he wasn't playing. I said, oh, no, Tiffany was. And then obviously McNeil played as well and Harrison. But yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, initially, I think I said to you, mate, I was trying to work out what I thought he was doing. I thought, okay, if he's decided whether that's right or wrong, I didn't really get it. But he's obviously decided he wanted Smith in a right back for a game. Okay. So then I thought, okay, so does that mean he's thinking him and Ouattara played a lot back in the last season on that right side?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe he's looking for a partnership. Okay, kind of get it a little bit more now. Then the game starts and Ouattara's on the left.
He does switch at some point.
He does. They do switch a lot. But yeah, it didn't really make too much sense to me. And as you say, Matt, I don't really understand. He's clearly our, I mean, Sinisterra obviously has had very little minutes, but he's clearly our least performing winger at the moment. And we know how many options we've got there. So it's a bit baffling. The Stoke game I understood in the cup because he played him. He wasn't playing very well. And he kept him on all game. And I thought, that's fair enough. It's a cup game. We won it. Keep him on, you know, get him into some form. He's missed pre-season. But to start him in this game really did baffle me. And then yeah, unfortunately, I really wanted to be proven wrong there and him just have a storm and think, God, I'm glad I'm not a gaffer because he knows a lot more than me. But unfortunately, Ouattara was absolutely hopeless. So, yeah, that's worrying. And obviously, we're going to more in the game. But, you know, I was thinking all game, how Semenya not got on? And then I thought afterwards, and Clive was on the bench as well. How did them two not get a minute, by the way?
And you went down and you didn't see the moment from Dongo that just summed up his performance.
Yeah,
I really want him to work, and credit to the Bournemouth fans for clapping him off. It showed a lot of character from the Bournemouth fans. I know we're loyal and we'll always get behind our men, but there could have been boos or there could have been groans. There weren't. So, and you know, I really hope it turns for him. But
I'd like to think that sort of stuff only comes if you think they're not giving their all and kind of shirk a responsibility. And I wouldn't say that about Dongo. Like, it's not a player that doesn't care, in my opinion. It's just not happening. It's just not happening for him. His first touch ain't right. He can't seem, nothing he does seems to work at the moment. But it's not that he's just walking around not caring. He's just not being very good. And, you know, that happens when people go for a bad run. And maybe it's catch something for him a little bit. They had no pre-season. I wonder if maybe he should come out the firing line. Having said that, I don't know. I assume he's going away. International duty. Maybe a goal or something out there might do him good. Who knows? Because he showed size last season. I remember the game at home in Liverpool we won and obviously got the winner at Tottenham. There's a player in there. I just think he's still a young lad. And I don't think he's quite ready yet to be starting again.
Whereas his name does raise eyebrows, I think it's contagious because now I think we're also going to be looking at other players. After the last 90 minutes, we're going to be looking at Neto. We're going to be looking at Zvani. And there will be a few inclusions that will cause that. And look, we really do need a win. And it just seems to be at the moment there's not a lot going right. And we do need patience as fans, but the question has to be how much patience. There are people on social media talking about who's going to be the next Premier League sacking. And people have said that Iraola needs to go. And those words on only a few cherry lips at the moment.
I'm going to look while we're talking just because I'm interested to see if he is the favourite.
I think Heckenbottom.
It's not a bad show.
His top. And then I think there's one other. And then I think he's third at the moment. I don't know. You've got the latest odds, I'm sure, coming up. But
oh, I have right this second. Heckenbottom is the favourite. But Iriola's now gone to second.
He's gone.
Ten Hag and Kompany. So, yeah. Literally, yeah, and I remember, like, kind of before the game and stuff, he was, you know, like you say, he was a lot further down on the odds. So, yeah, but as you say, I don't think so. Yeah, I think the worrying thing is because people would say, I've seen a few people say, like, you didn't expect to get anything until Everton. Yeah. And so basically, you lost one football match you thought you'd win. That's mental to then say, you know, say, oh, I agree. I think that the problem.
That's what I mean. The talk's baffling, but in the same breath,
yeah,
you can understand.
Well, what I was going to say is that I think, you know, if we had played. Like, you know, shown signs of Anfield in the Brighton game, etc. in the last couple, or at least Everton, you'd go, listen, this is awful at the moment, but there's signs that it's going to take a long time. I've said this consistently, to change the whole style of football, you know, with new players added to that as well, injuries. It's my worry. It was after the Arsenal game, but I kind of thought, well, hang on, let's see Everton, because it's Arsenal, as we've alluded to. My worry is in the last two games, there has been no identity of Iraola ball at all. So now I'm starting to think, hang on, are these players suited to his style? Has he got the right players for his style? Or is his style and his message not getting across to those players? Because we're not looking like, we're looking no different in the last couple
well,
we did last season.
When you look at that starting lineup, there's only one of the players on the pitch that he's actually brought in or has been brought in the summer transfer window, which is Kerkez.
True.
Just one. So all the rest of them would have been used to playing a different style under O'Neill. But if you look to the bench, you've got Max Aarons. You've got Radu. You've got Traore. Technically, he signed in the summer transfer window. Cliverton. Sinisterra. Yet he's picking a side that is more used to playing a different style of football. So why is that?
It seems to be
very odd. And look, I think people are frustrated, and I think the frustration is exacerbated by the money we've spent. We're taking more money in. People have parted with more money than ever before to clothe their children in AFC Bournemouth stuff, kits, training kits and stuff. And I think there's a number of factors that we're all asking questions about, which include recruitment of players, you know, obviously the management of Iraola, the players themselves, the tactics, but also this sort of negative sentiment that seems to be going around the club at the moment, and that's both on and off the pitch. We're pondering things like, are we running before we can walk? Are we trying to maybe do too much too quickly? And has there been a naivety in thinking that splashing the cash just will equal success? Because I think in many ways, Tom, we've maybe been led up the garden path emotionally by all this spending and all the mentions of Europe in 5 years and all the kind of stuff, but actually should we just maybe pull this back in a little bit and just think this is a transitional season and we just need to get through it before we start seeing the fruits of what Andoni Iraola can do. It's hard to think that though when you've got all this like talent coming through your door though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, and then when you're a Bournemouth fan as well, you're not used to this kind of stuff. The spending all this money is a little bit new to us, so I think, you know, in the last year we've literally, I mean, if you had said to me, you know, it was about a year ago, wasn't it, the new ownership, and you had said to me, you know, you're going to get a manager in that's used to kind of really attacking, exciting football compared to the one you've got currently. This is if I'm talking a year ago. You're going to get new ownership in. They're going to spend, you know, over 150 million quid. You're going to get players in that are wanted by, you know, you think, how are they coming aboard with Sabanis, Kirkes, Adams, Scott, Sinister? These sort of players are going to come into the club. You're going to be, I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is exciting. It'd be mad for me not to get excited from where we've been at Bournemouth.
Was it Zabani that's on Football Manager or FIFA or something? He's supposed to be a...
Yeah, he's a one.
I was about to say, because the way that first goal happened, I thought it might as well be FIFA when I'm playing it, because I'm crap at consoles, and it's just one slip of the finger and then... But yeah, you're right.
It's the excitement levels, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
And they were, like I say, they were all there with the new ownership, and they were all there with this new coach that we're bringing in that's all going to be excited. And then they were just elevated by the money we were spending and on paper, the quality of player. And then, as you say, if you take a step back a little bit and try and take the emotion out of it and go, right, what I've seen so far is the recruitment actually players that suit this style? Is Iraola managing to get this message across? Is his style that he wanted to do in Spain suited to England? Is he, you know, is it working? Clearly not at the moment. And now I'm starting to go, hang on a minute, we've got a 19-year-old kid at left back. We've got no other left back at the football club. We've got a couple of injuries at the back, so obviously we look really scarce there. I'm not confident with the goalkeeper, and then I've seen the backup goalkeeper and he doesn't look any good. Then the third goalkeeper, and I don't even know, I've only realised we still had him when he was in the team photo. And then you go, well, we lost Lerner. Oh, well, we spent loads of money. We haven't got a defensive midfield player available.
We had a year knowing that he was flankly ready to go.
We've got Kiefer Moore, no disrespect. But so then you start going, well, hang on a minute, but I was really excited by the recruitment. And you started to question yourself, going, why was I excited? And then you start to think, is it just a little bit Football Manager and you're just buying these players that look cool and look sexy and you haven't really looked at the fact that they're always injured or the fact that we don't need a fifth winger, we probably need a defensive midfield player. And all this stuff starts coming to red because of what you're seeing on the pitch.
Well, is it Footy Manager, but on a smaller scale maybe? Because
feels that way,
it feels like that, you know, I think that, you know, they obviously know the style that Iraola wants to implement and they're getting the players that have got the attributes to match it, but just something isn't working. Now, I've got to just comment on a few things on social media over the weekend. You know, Gary O'Neill, we got a point at home against Aston Villa, I think, yesterday. Brilliant performance from them, maybe, was it? I don't know. I mean, it was 1-1 against Villa, high-flying. However, there's a lot of... I don't know why. There's a lot of binary opinion out there about we should have kept O'Neill.
It's always going to be the case if this didn't work, but the simple fact is there is a world where getting rid of O'Neill and getting Iraola don't have to coincide in terms of you can think that getting rid of O'Neill for Iraola was the right call, but it hasn't worked. But that doesn't mean we should have kept O'Neill. That's madness. Let's remember, by the way, I remember saying to you after the game, I said, that was so bad. That was the worst away performance. And I went, oh, since probably Palace. Yeah. Like, because really, I know now everyone will probably say that was much worse. I remember being there. It was absolutely horrific. And we went on runs where we couldn't even get a shot off, like consistently. I think we went 9 games without a win and but we barely had a shot in that time. Everyone's got short memories. Everyone's got short memories and on what we're watching. And listen, we've all said loads of times after Kiel Peter himself that he got the job done, fair play to him. And if he had, we didn't expect him to go. They obviously took that gamble because of Iraola. But to judge Iraola after this many games and say O'Neill's better is absolutely madness. I think if he's that good, well, how come if we beat him in a few weeks? We're only 2 points behind the bloody team.
Yeah, and also, you know, like you say, there were some, I mean, that Palace, home and away, West Ham, home and away, Saints at home was absolutely diabolical. And there are a number of performances that you can look back at as being on par with what we saw under Iraola against Everton. But, you know, that said, hang on. Gary O'Neill beat Man City, though. Yeah, but he also beat Liverpool. He also beat Spurs, like when he was playing for us as well. These isolated results will happen. And I think it was a tweet from Sophie on X who said, just because it's not working, it doesn't mean he was any good or it was the right decision to get rid of him, regardless if this works out or not. Some very short memories out there.
Yeah.
And I think...
100%.
And also, it's clear that different managers suit different clubs. And, you know, you always have this whereby a manager does brilliant at one club, but maybe just doesn't quite work at another. And, maybe that he does do well at Wolves, and fair play to him, but that doesn't mean he was therefore brilliant for us. And it's clear we are working towards vision. I think there's a lot of weird schadenfreude going on, even with AFC Bournemouth fans that are looking at the Wolves games, tweeting about it and stuff, and almost laughing to himself that they've got the upper hand morally because, oh, Wolves got another point, but Bournemouth, haha, you didn't. I was right, you were wrong. This point scoring is it's the most disuniting kind of stuff, an unlikable sort of behaviour. I really don't like
it. Yeah, I think you have kind of like you do in a football stadium where you have a bit of banter and stuff.
But you're doing that with the opposition.
Yeah, with the opposition fans, but that's what I was going to say. So I kind of, don't want to sound like I'm, what's the word? I'm hypocritical. Because I'm one of them ones, I think it was the Ipswich game in a cup, I went, Wolves are 2-0 up. Well, I wonder what's going to happen there. But I'm just having a laugh. I don't actually care. We don't care if Wolves are ever in the cup or not. I can give it. You know what I mean? I care about us. And at the end of the day, at the moment, I would say, the win against City is bloody impressive. Anyone with BC is impressive. Yeah, given that 100%. And I think straight after I went, oh God, he's had one over me there. We're just having a laugh there. But in the grand scheme of things, I just want Bournemouth to do well. The reason I probably, say at the weekend wanted Villa to win, because I would think, I mean, tell me if I'm not, that we'd be closer to Wolves this season than Villa. Yeah. So I'd rather them teams win them games, just like I wanted Newcastle to beat West Ham, because we might be slightly closer to West Ham. Probably not going to be close to either of them. But that's just what you do, because I care about Bournemouth. But in general, I think if you spoke to Wolves fans or... just looked in general, I'd say, Wolves are about where I think they should be. There was a real surprise result, which was really good for them, say the City one. But really, I think I've watched them a few times, I think kind of what I expect. A lot of it's very similar. They certainly look more organised than we do defensively, but they don't create much until someone does a bit of brilliance. We had a lot with Tavernier. They often think Neto is,
wow.
Honestly, that guy. I checked weirdly because I thought, how old is Neto? He's 23. I'll tell you what they're going to do. He's got him. Said no disrespect to Wolves, but he's got to go to Europe. He is unbelievable. I wish I would think potentially we'd have a few more points if we had him on our wing. But listen, they're doing all right. I can give a shit, to be honest with you. I care next time because we're playing them.
Yeah.
But if they come mid table or similar to what they did last season, and Gary stays the whole season, then I'd go and we go. Say we go down, I'll go. We're wrong. He's obviously a better manager than we thought. We're in October. And at the moment, I still think we've got a very good chance of finishing around similar spots. I think the squad, there's not a lot in it. I think they've probably got a little bit more continuity there because we've got a lot of other players than they have. But if they were to finish, say, mid-table, you go, fair play, Gary. I didn't think you had that in you. I think we'll just struggle more. Well done, mate.
Someone sent me a screenshot of something that someone said on a Facebook group. I have got Facebook, but I don't use it to go on the groups. But apparently we're pitiful YouTubers, by the way.
And we YouTubers.
Apparently.
That's haters.
Don't
they get good money?
We revelled and laughed at O'Neill's. Did we? Laughed at his departure.
No, I'll go back to our video when we let him go. I think we spoke to Mark McCallum, didn't we? I remember coming on the show and we said that. I remember liking it because Mark McCallum said wise words to me. Because I said, surely this is something along the lines, surely this is a case of Iraola's available and they didn't want to miss out because they like him rather than thinking O'Neill's not good enough. And that was when Mark said, yeah, absolutely. I think Bournemouth were happy to go into the season with Gary, but it was because Andoni was available. But yeah, we came on and we're like, oh, bloody hell, this is a bit exciting. We got a new manager, what's going on here? But we certainly were. They're like, he's gone. You know, so we kept us up.
I think the frustration is because Gary O'Neill was a Bournemouth manager of the there and then, whereas Andoni Iraola is a manager of the future.
Yeah.
And he's a manager that's working towards a vision, something that isn't there yet, but something that we want to get to. So we've taken a risk in that. Taken a risk by getting him on. And it's never going to work first time. I mean, like the order of the ingredients when you're making particular recipes, I think is important. And it is important.
It's not bad in the kitchen.
Say if you're making a casserole, like with a bit of bacon in, put the bacon in at the very beginning. Because then the juices and the taste from the bacon then infuse. Just chuck it on at the end because it's not the same. At the moment, I feel as though he's got ingredients that he can't quite use. He can't open the packet. Like, he can't open that bacon packet. We've all tried to do that vacuum pack stuff. It's impossible. Alex Scott, nowhere to be seen. Tyler Adams, you can't even open him. I think that when that is chucked into the mix, I genuinely think it's going to be, so it's going to be exactly what we need. What are you doing there?
Oh, I just kind of looking.
But
yeah, no, I get you. I do get what you're saying. Even though I can barely do toast. But yeah, what I would say is, I think I remember when I first started being a YouTuber. But when I first started coming on and we started like COVID time and that, yeah. I remember I got, which I get now, and I kind of tried to back Jason because of the fact that he was our number two and I loved him. Like, what everyone come back at me, which I would say, yeah, fair play. I was just trying to get behind him because I loved Tindall. Was CV? There's no CV. He's got no CV. Why are we hiring someone with no CV? And then we got Woodgate. Well, he's got no CV. Why are we hiring someone with no CV? And then, well, Iraola's CV, look at his compared to Gary O'Neill. And now I kind of say, I'm glad we've got Andoni Iraola. And people sound laugh like, I don't, yeah, you can't seem to win. But yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think O'Neill was perfect for the hero. I actually think if he was going over old ground, obviously he got the job done at the end. But I always felt that he was perfect interim. A bit like Woodgate was in LB. He was perfect because he was brilliant at the interim.
Yeah.
When he got the Perlner job, it kind of didn't work as much. But
well, according to the baseline tracker, he wasn't even that good at the interim, going from zero to minus two. Oh, no, we're not going to use that as last. But yeah, and look, let's just talk about what happened in the game yesterday then. Because I just find that it's so weird because we've got a particular style, this kind of marauding style, overlapping fullbacks, all this kind of stuff. And I just didn't see it. And Dom Solanke, I think he said on the fan cams and maybe even throughout the vlog that it just looks so isolated at times. There was a particular tactic that we seemed to be using, and that was Marcus Senesi invariably trying to pump the ball over the top to Donga Watara, who rarely won it, to be honest. And then I think Zavani was trying to do so from the other side, and the ball was played into Dom Solanke early, but there seemed to be this gargantuan amount of space between him and the midfielders. I just wonder whether the loss of not having a Jefferson Lerma or a Tyler Adams, who's obviously injured, where the players are just, like, too many players are trying to make up for it almost, because he's just, he's so crucial to how we play, yet Dom's up there on his own, the wingers are so wide, there's just a massive amount of space. Whereas when Everton attacked, little old Everton, now, no disrespect, but, you know, a team that a lot of people are thinking are going to go down and stuff, they were brilliant.
Yeah, they were.
They were really good. Yeah. And they were, you know, they were sending men forward, they were underlapping, they were overlapping, loads of options. Dom didn't have anything when he was up there.
No, and I mean, just quickly on the point before I forget, because we were talking about Watara, that's the only other thing that I was going to mention in terms of his inclusion. Because of the way, like you said, Celeste was playing them, did he think that was a tactic? Ashley Young's not the biggest.
To stretch them.
And Dango is a little bit, well, he is actually a lot better than all our other wingers in the air normally.
Yeah.
So was he thinking, Ashley Young's quite small, we can target that. And that's why we started on the left. That's all I'm just trying to make a point there for the selection, not that it worked. But yeah, I agree. And what I've gone over this a few times, but we always say about Dom being isolated. What's mad is that the ball goes up to Dom, and like you said, there's a massive gap. No one's near him. Then their ball goes up to, on this occasion, Calvert-Lewin, and there's a massive gap. Where's everyone else? Yeah. Because the defenders always look like they're on their own and they're in. Every time they go forward, they're in. Every time we go forward, there's no one there. So where are all the players? I don't really understand where everyone is. My concern in the last few games is I don't know if them players know where they're supposed to be.
No.
That's my concern. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't look like anyone really is sure of their role. There's times where Lewis, you can see him kind of thinking, oh, I'm the defensive midfield player here, I'll sit here. And then other times he's charging forward like he's being told, no, go and press. But then he's like, but then I'm leaving a hole, but am I supposed to press? And it all just feels a little bit, does feel a bit chaotic, to be fair.
But
it's not with any sort of organisation about it at all. No sort of, it just doesn't seem like the players understand. And I might be completely wrong. It just might not be implemented well. But to me, on the eye, it doesn't look like they get what they're being told to do.
I mean, Phil Billing is still being played too deep. I mean, the fact that when Zavani made his error to set James Garner in, the fact that Phil Bill was the nearest player to a centre-back that was dribbling it out perhaps says it all. He should have been a lot further up the pitch. So you're just thinking, you know, where Dom Solanke was, there was no one around him. So, yeah, it's a big concern. Zavani is one of the players that I had concerns after that 90 minutes, that slip. And there was a moment at the start of the second half I didn't even see, actually, by the way. It was on Match of the Day.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he just slipped. And I think, was it Decore who managed a shot goal? But my goodness me, really bad. He sort of he was going to play it out wide, then he decided to go back, lost the ball, and then there was a shot on goal.
Yeah, well, also, I personally think that's the... This is just my personal opinion. Some people have said that they've seen that coming. I personally think that's his... That's by far his worst game. I don't think he's been a bad for us. No, like, no. Even in the Arsenal game before, I know he was all right in his duels. Like, he hasn't been unbelievable lately. But I think he's been pretty consistent, and that was an awful game. Whereas Senesi, I think since kind of the Swansea Cup game, because you remember he got dropped for Kelly and then he had to come back in because of Kelly's injury. I think he's been hopeless. And I don't know what's happened because he was brilliant before that. So Senesi, I think he's been consistently having bad weeks. Whereas Zabadi, I felt like it was a one-off.
But do you think it's too much too quickly? Because they're obviously being told to play a different way, but also, you know, on the ball as well. They need to get a feel for the ball when maybe previously in their previous clubs, they didn't play to that style.
No.
And, you know, Zabadi's being expected to, like, dribble that out. And he's not only doing that, he's trying to work out who he's passing to next. It's a lot that we seem to be deploying fairly quickly. No wonder it's all going wrong.
Yeah, potentially. And I think I remember seeing Zabadi not that long ago against England for Ukraine, where he just pocketed Harry Kane all game. Because all he was doing was just stood there, winning his duels. He's quite good at his duels, like, and obviously he's a big lump, really. And then he was just clearing stuff and head stuff, but he wasn't overcomplicating it. It feels like he's, you know, when he takes that drive inside, I think he thinks, oh, I need to go into the space, so this is kind of what I'm supposed to do, and he's not comfortable to him. And all things like that could come in time. These are young players. You know, I'm over a decade older than Zabani, for God's sake. So, this can come. But unfortunately, at the moment, we've got to go off what we're watching. At the moment, we are hopeful it will come. But right now, it isn't happening, mate. And, yeah, it's a worry.
So he's one that was obviously at fault. Was Neto 50-50 on this? Because I think he flails. I chatted to John Spark at half-time. He sort of said, oh, maybe you can forgive it because he got a little bit of a push or a shove or something like that he was clattered into. But he had a couple of moments where he's almost being advised to punch out. But that last one especially what a goal, by the way. What a controlled, beautiful strike. And it's always better when it hits the underside of the ball and goes in as well. It looked...
Didn't realise how good it was.
Though. Yeah, really good control finish. But... you were getting very irate.
Yeah, and I think
people were.
Yeah, and I always tried Carrick there because I'd like to say that when he came into the club, I think it was at Forest, wasn't it, his first game under O'Neill. After a 9-0 defeat, he come in and he calmed the place down. It felt like we had a Brazilian international goalkeeper that's played for Barcelona in the sticks, and he really helped us last season. This season, personally, for me, I don't see a good goalkeeper.
Yeah,
people bring Chuck stats sometimes with saves and that does my head in because the amount of chances we give up, he's going to save some. Surely he's a goalkeeper, as he's supposed to do. And I think he made one save and it was a right reaction, a straight down and throw.
Yeah.
I should say, if he doesn't save that, Jesus.
Yeah.
First goal, I thought, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I think that he's trying to look around Lewis Cook, you know, when Garner's... But he actually hits that shot straight down the middle.
He uses him as a shield.
Yeah, he does do it well, so I'm not going to go... But, you know, when there's sometimes where there's goalkeepers that punch a lot, you know, a lot of goalkeepers like to punch, but you feel like they're in control. Like, when a cross is coming in, they're punching. If that's a good punch, you come in and you get control of the situation, just punch it out. Every cross that comes in, and I'm telling you, they were targeting him. They were targeting him early. And the crosses, he looks like he don't know what he's... Sometimes he comes, sometimes he doesn't. Even the last goal, he's cutting across his goal. He's always in his own net half the time.
And even after Calvert-Lewin hit the crossbar, he grabs the ball, rolls it out straight. I think he's trying to get Solanke, didn't, got intercepted.
There's one point where we're playing, and I think someone says go low, one of the players, can't remember who it was, and he just dinks it straight back to that. I think his distribution's all over the place.
Do you think our captains are struggling under the weight of having the armband? Because Lloyd did. Just trying to think, who was the last captain for FC Bournemouth that you thought he's a captain?
Steve Cook, maybe?
Steve Cook.
Maybe.
Yeah, but that's about Tommy Elphick, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think it's a weird one. I always felt like Kelly was fine when Cahill was next to him, and then he started struggling when Cahill came out. I think now Phillips come in, and then it struggled a little bit. But you were going to... Yeah, he had Cahill next to him, but... Yeah, I mean, that's something you could look into a little bit, I guess. Just at the moment, just off the eye test, for me personally, I don't think we've got a very good goalkeeper. And that's just me being honest. I honestly don't think he's that good. He's not very good at kicking it. I don't like him from crosses. There's been a lot of goals that we've said prior to this show that he's already in the net when they edit. I'm not convinced, mate. But don't get me wrong, we've only seen a very short amount against Stoke, nothing to do. And in the Swansea game, I wasn't convinced by the little thing I saw of Radu. It's a little bit of a concern. And then you start looking at things, don't you? And I go, That's a bit bigger than just a QPR model. I mean, within back.
And also, was Travers ever that bad?
I think the difference is, I think, don't get me wrong, I always felt...
We'll always do that as football fans. We'll always question, oh,
yeah,
Ben,
of course.
You know, Ben Pearson could do a job now. Like,
yeah. Oh, Ben Pearson would get the team now. So would Siriki Dembele and Jake Nantley, in my opinion, however, at the moment. But yeah, I think Travers, my concern with Travers was always being commanding from crosses. Yeah. But the goalkeeper we've got now, I don't think is commanding from crosses either. No, I just think there would be a lot of criticism if he was a young goalkeeper, you go, he's not ready. I think because he's older and an experienced goalkeeper, all going, well, he must be good. Well, actually, maybe he's not. I hope it all changes, because I think it was the Chelsea game. He had a very, very good game. So, yeah, I hope it all changes. I worry. Maybe it's part of as well. He's not trusting the players in front of him as much, and there's just this whole collective thing that just spirals through. And, you know, because, listen, no one had a good game. If I said it on my player ratings that I do on the Telegram, that the only player that I gave an average mark that then ends up having to be man of the match was Marcus Tavernier. And that was only because I felt that he actually tried to run at people and he tried to make things happen. It never really paid off, but he tried, and he played right wing, left back, right back, all over the place. And he tried to make things happen. Apart from that, I think Rafa was okay when he come on. I thought everyone else was pretty rubbish.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were mentioning Iraola and the way he handled certain questions. And I think, obviously, when he's going to be asked about his own player, you're going to defend him. You're not going to throw Neto under the bus publicly. And there are a few people saying, well, he's not telling it as it is, like he has done so far. He's changing. That's not the case.
Remember why we got rid of Scott Parker, by the way?
Yeah.
He's come out and got our goalkeeper's useless today.
Yeah.
I was surprised that he said he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's not doing well, is he? No. But I think he just should have said, look, we let in stupid goals today. Yeah. No, it's a collective. No one's at fault. But yeah, I don't want him to come out and have a go at our individual players. I'd be mad.
Someone said something on X that I looked at and I just thought, yeah, maybe you're right. Does this in some ways remind you of Eddie's last season?
Oh, don't say that.
But in a way,
we used to bring on Sam Surridge, we bring on Keith Emmer.
but we had a bloody good squad.
Yeah,
we really did, and we so underperformed.
And it was pretty dull, wasn't it?
Yeah,
especially for Eddie Howe football that we all laud about, and rightly so. I think we're
so. This is the other sort of side of the argument. Maybe like, is does he need to learn another way to play a little bit?
I think it's a difficult one, because if we suddenly completely change the style and rip it all up, I then personally question. I question that, because I go, Jesus Christ, if I had a manager that we've worked all pre-season and playing a certain style, and after how many games we played, eight games, he went, we're not doing this anymore. I go, bloody hell, you don't believe in yourself, do you? Jesus, why am I going to listen to you if you've ripped up your whole philosophy as a manager in eight games? So yeah, I think there's got to be a balance to that. I think you can keep your style and the way of playing and tweak a few bits. I think you could do that. I think there was even times in certain games this season where we played certain calibre of opposition, and I think fullbacks, you've been told, don't go too wide. That's just a little tweak, isn't it? Yeah. Because you go in, think of the opposition, you know, Kirk's have a think, you've got Saka, for example.
I'm just wondering whether he picked the players on Saturday with the opposition in mind, almost played to the strengths or weaknesses in his head for the opposition,
right?
Like playing Donga Witara, where he was up against Ashley Young, rather than just concentrate on the things we're good at. I mean, there are a few things that people have suggested on the forums, like,
go on,
putting Radu in goal, when Kelly's fit, playing Meppham and Kelly as our central defensive two. Meppham never really puts a foot wrong. Rothwell and Cook playing them centrally, like you maybe have
said. I think that'll happen at Wolves.
Phil Bill being closer to Dom, starting with maybe Brooksy or Semenyo.
Yeah,
who's been great, because he's a bustling character, isn't he? And I don't know. I mean, what would you do if you were Antonio Rieta for the next game?
It's a difficult one because of the international break.
Yeah, Wolves have had a couple of suspensions, by the way, haven't they?
Yeah, ideal, actually. Semedo, the good fullback, has picked up his fifth booking. And obviously, Lamina, ex-gunner, sent off, and it was two yellows, so they can't appeal it. Mm-hmm. So that's handy. But I think obviously it's all going to depend because of internationals. You know what's going to happen. You know, Meps could go out to, he's going with Wales, so he could go out there and then go, oh, he's not fit enough. He could go out there and have a blinder.
Yeah.
And go, let's get him back in. He's full of confidence. So you never quite know how they're going to come back. I think he will go Rothwell and Cook with Billing closer. And I think he'll be, he will think this is a good good way of trying it, because I can easily take Christie out because he's the only one out of them that's going away. And Christie will probably get minutes. So I think he might come out, this is all a few weeks in advance, of course. But I think them three might play. I think Rothwell, Cook and Billing might be the three. How wide, I'm not sure. I'll be very shocked if Dongo starts again. I think Tav's done enough. I think he could play any of the others. It wouldn't shock me if he goes Clive or Semenyo. I think he likes pace, and I don't think he's trusting Brooks out wide. But if that's the case, I think, okay, well, if Billing's not working, I'd rather Brooks than Christie, because at least he's got a little bit more in terms of numbers. I would assume Aarons will come back in. Seller asked, I can't see Kelly being back. I don't know how close he is. You know, this is another thing. He's not going away. So Lloyd Kelly might get a lot of working on the grass, and they might realise he's ready. If they're all fully fit, then Kelly's got to play. And you'd probably say Kelly and Zabani, but let's see how Meckham does.
Certainly need someone we'd certainly need someone quick and pacey up against Neto on their right side, because he's quality.
It literally, this game could all come down to Neto, and it could be either of them.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Look,
their goalie was bloody good at the weekend. OJSR, by the way. Jesus.
I think, look, there's a lot of negativity brewing. There is. And this result just exacerbates it, really. And we've talked about even the initial season ticket issues with the women's games bundled in, the ticket price rises, the removing of the 1910 bar, hospitality, King's Plaza, the gimmicks that we don't really warm to yet. And amid a background of tangible training ground activity, though, we're at a sort of dichotomy. Like, well, we can see that stuff's actually happening, but the stuff that we're experiencing is not particularly good. And amid these price rises and sacrifices that us fans are having to go through, I think, you know, it could all be forgiven if things were on the pitch going well. At the moment, they're not.
Yeah.
We've got to have to have faith, but obviously we'll continue to ask the questions. And on social media, it is toxic. Oh, if I could say one thing, just take a breath. We need to get behind the manager. Even at 2-0 down, we were still singing Iraola's name, by the way. Inside Goodison Park, those were singing his name. And yeah, we're all saying the things we're saying on social media, but we are still behind him. And
clapped him off, and he got, and to be fair, because I know earlier in the season people were saying about him not coming over, he came over in front of it, by the way.
Just
right over in front of the fans.
Yeah, and so, and also Robert Zerbe's start at Brighton was not pretty at all.
Ooh, I tell you what, that's gonna be exciting, baby.
Yeah, I know. And look, it is tough. It's a tough one to dissect. This isn't the last conversation we're gonna be having over this next 2 weeks about this, by the way, because we appreciate it's a shorter second look, but we also realise that you don't really want to be sitting through a whole hour of this kind of stuff. Remember, you can support the channel by going to afcbpodcast.com/coffee. We truly appreciate all of the lovely comments that we've had. This story, this conversation has not finished for us. Tom, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mate. Whereas I was not here today, right. Last time we won a league game. Remember it? Leeds.
Yeah.
What do we have at Leeds? The rally flags, baby. Bring the rally flags back. You said about rally flags. That's Windsor Square. Where is it? There. Come on. Well, we've got one. I'll tell you what. Rally bags back. 3 points against Wolves. Peace. Come on.
You ribs.
Billy. Left footed. It's a cheeky one. Square.
Podcast Network.